for the panel if you would like. I wasn't sure which message I was going to do. I've had a message for a long time, whether it's good or bad. I've had it. Never had a reason for it. I mean, I've had a reason for it, but just haven't found the right spot. So we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. Hopefully it'll be the right one. If I chose wrong, I'm sorry. We'll work on a different one. But 2 Chronicles 33. And we are going to read 1 down through verse 17. 1 Chronicles 33, 1 through 17. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah's father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and ordinances by the hand of Moses. Verse 9, So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord he was God. And now after this he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high place, yet unto the Lord their God only. Pastor Hain, can you pray in our opening, please?
Father in heaven, we do pray that you would, Brother Neil, that you would empower him with your spirit, that as he speaks to us what you've put in his heart and mind, that we, Father, will be open and listening and receive from you. Thank you for this day and for the message we're about to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
If I could use a title, would be Humble Yourself. There's a lot that happens here to Manasseh. A couple of kings right before him, a couple of relatives. You don't have to go there. I'll just go there quick. But Ahaz was before him. And then 2 Chronicles 28:1, it says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. So he was a good king. Then we go to Hezekiah 29:2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. So we're in a good line. We start out Manasseh in 33:2, You got to get there. And it changed. But that did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord unto the abomination. So he started out, we had good, good, bad. So great-grandpa was good, grandpa was good, things changed. We talk about lineage, and just because dad's good or great-grandpa was good, it can still change. And that should be a warning to us that we still need to be teaching, we still need to be showing, we still need to be doing what's supposed to be done. We have in Josiah, 34:2, we have Josiah comes on, and he did that which was right in the sight of God. So he learned, he figured it out, started doing the right things. Hezekiah, again, was Manasseh's dad, and he was a good one. And the thing that was important is Manasseh, how he learned to go back was he remembered a couple of things from his grandfather. Now, verses 1 through 10, we learned Manasseh was not a very good guy. Verse 10, he refuses God's word. I'll go to that real quick again. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, they would not hearken. He had that strong heart, he had that strong will, like a lot of us do. We don't want God's way, we want our way. And we just butt heads with God, we get the stiff neck, we do what we want to do, we don't want to give in to what God wants. Verse 11, God takes care of the problem. Wherefore the Lord brought up upon them the captains of the hosts of the kings of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. It took a world, his life got turned upside down in a short amount of time. And that's something we don't think about. We think we got it. We're doing our thing. Everybody's okay with it. We can continue to do what we want to do. It's all up to God is what it is, but we think it's all up to us.
That's right.
Verse 12, this is where things started to change. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord God, the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly. And that's a huge key phrase right there. There's where he switched from being a bad king to a good king. He remembered something in his past, and he remembered there was one thing to do, and that was to humble himself, that he wasn't going to continue to fight against God in this. Why can't we just humble ourselves and take what God wants to give us? There's something he's telling you, this is what I want you to do, this is the way you need to go, and we just keep fighting. All we got to do is just humble ourselves. Get in that right relationship with Christ, and he'll take care of the problem. Verse 13 through 16, again, God answers his prayer. He listens to him. He receives his request, and he humbles it. He gives him what he was asking for. The statement there is obviously God is always good. Whether we get what we want or we don't get what we want, God's still in control. He's still good. We just got to be willing to accept it. Now, we think about, I'm too much of a sinner. I've done too much. Back to verse 6 in chapter 33, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley. That's a pretty bad guy. He was offering children through the fire, basically, as to idol worship. He was idol worshiping, offering children to a false god. But we see where he humbled himself. He came to God. God restores him because God loves all of us. Just like he was willing to kill kids. But what's any different than what we do today in this country?
That's right.
Abortion's rampant. We are willing to kill kids left and right. The big difference is Manasseh humbled himself. Are we, being America, the United States of America, are we willing to humble ourselves to change the course that's going on? Not really well. Obviously, we're in church. I'm preaching to the choir, but this country doesn't want to turn from where it's at. It likes its nasty pleasures. Until the people of this country wake up and humble themselves, not much is going to change. Now, I wanted to talk about Hezekiah real quick because we talk about how he saw his grandfather make wise decisions. Actually, go to 2 Kings 20. If I can get there, we'll get there. 2 Kings 20. Verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I walk before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen my tears, behold, I will heal thee. So Manasseh has already seen this, watching his grandfather or his dad. He's already seen this miracle fulfilled. Then if you go back to 2 Chronicles 32:20, 2 Chronicles 32:20. And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of king of Syria. So he returned returned with shame to of face to his own homeland, where he had come into the house of God, that they came forth and fourth of his own bowels slew him that were with the sword. Basically, in verse 20, I wanted to get to where him and Isaiah, they cried to heaven, okay? Trying to point out that Manasseh had seen what his dad had done. And so when Manasseh gets thrown into prison, that's how he comes up with his plan. I won't say a plan, but that's how he brings it to remembrance, as he had watched his dad go through at least two big deals in his life. And Hezekiah prayed, and the Lord answered him. So Manasseh gets to this point. He says, I got one option. I need to start praying about this. And so he did. Verses 1 through 10 are excuses of chapter 33. When Manasseh was bad, we can look at those as our excuses. You talk about, you know, you had a bad life growing up, or you had a bad situation, or you had this or that. It didn't matter. Hezekiah gave him a good example to follow. And he took responsibility for his issues. A lot of times, if we would just take responsibility instead of blaming other people for what's going on, we would be a lot farther up ahead on things. We would just humble ourselves, take whatever is coming to us, and trust God that He's going to take care of us. It's so important that we show our grandkids, our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, they see our walk daily, that nothing can rattle us, nothing can change that hope in Christ, that He has given us everything. So the first thing I would say is stop blaming others, and I'll narrow it down. Dads, stop blaming others. Stop blaming your upbringing, that you might not have had a Christian father, or that you thought you got treated unfairly. It doesn't matter. That when you answer in front of, when you stand before God, He's not going to ask you, how did your dad treat you? How did your great-grandfather treat you? He's going to ask you for how you are answering for you. Mothers, don't blame others. Follow your leader, which is your husband. If you have a husband, he's supposed to be your leader. If he's a Christian, you're definitely supposed to be following him. Let him lead. Obviously, follow God as well on that. Kids, don't blame others. Whatever your parents tell you to do, follow through with it. Do it. It's only for your benefit if you're doing, if they're trying to teach you and raise you to honor God or to follow laws or to be a good person, follow them. That's a huge problem in the world today, is all we want to be is our kids' buddy. We don't want to be their parent. We don't want to teach them right from wrong. And that's why there's less and less kids in church every year. It just is becoming a continuing thing that they don't teach them to go to church, that it's a priority, that trusting God, living for God are priorities. And it's, we can see it. Generation after generation, it's do what you want to do, not what the world's what God's trying to tell you to do. Again, back to verse 12, be accountable, humble yourself. That part in there again, he humbled himself greatly. Not just Well, I'm sorry, God. No, it said humbled himself greatly. He took on, he understood what he had done at that point in time. God's pointing it out. This is what your problem is. He trusted God. He humbled himself greatly. My second thing would be even kings can learn. Verses 10 through 12, we talked about it earlier. He was living his life. He was doing his thing. Doesn't matter if you become president, king, whatever, the laws don't apply to you. They do. They still apply to whatever position you, if you're a plant manager, a garbage picker, whatever, whoever you're following, you need to do what they're asking you to do. Obviously, unless it breaks the Lord's rules, but you need to humble yourself and work for that other person. You need to humble yourself and be an example. We talked about how Manasseh learned to pray by watching his grandfather, or his father, I'm sorry. It's very important that we watch the people around us, and it doesn't even have to be your parents. You kids are blessed when you come in here, into this church, that there's godly men and women in this church that you can learn from. Don't ever take it for just sit for granted that there are good, godly people that are here that are willing to work with you, willing to teach you, willing to show you how to be a godly person. Again, you can say, well, I'm young, I can't be used. I just had a glass of water somebody brought me up.
Amen.
Did it for me to have water. That's a blessing. Helping other people out, cleaning the church, doing these different things. There's no reason you can't do these things if you just humble yourself. Number three, change can happen. Verses 15 and 16. And he took away the strange gods and the idols. And this is after he prayed and the Lord took and honored him. Took away the strange gods, the idols out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and he sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places. When Manasseh returned, he could have just been happy. He could have just said, the Lord took care of it. He answered my prayer. I'm safe now. Nobody's taking me away. I'm good to go. But he didn't. He came back and he did something about it. A lot of times we don't want to do that. When God points something out to us, he changes something in our lives, we say, well, yep, I got through that trial. Yep, I got through that problem. No. Change the problem. Change what happened to bring you to that circumstance. Amen. Humble yourself. Don't just continue to muddle through and say, well, I got 1 John 1:9 as my backup prayer. No. You have to change the situation. You have to change the problem. Yep. And here Manasseh comes back and he changes stuff. He gets things taken care of. He changed his life and he changed the country. He humbled himself. He got busy. He got to work. Unfortunate part is he didn't do all the work. Verse 17, nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God. It was still unto the Lord, but it was still in the high places that we'll find out God didn't want that done. Okay? He didn't do enough. Same thing with us. Do we do enough after we humble ourselves to God? Do we change the situation? Do we just continue to muddle through, continue to just follow the same old plan, the same old thing? We had a family tree. We had Ahaz, he was good. Hezekiah was good. Manasseh started out horrible, turned good. Josiah was good. Again, it doesn't, just because you have a good family tree or a bad family tree does not dictate how you're going to turn out. You have to put the work in. You have to humble yourself to God. You can't expect somebody else to do it, and it's okay. Again, you're going to stand behind in front of God and explain why you did or you didn't do the things that you were told to do. I can't stand for my kids and say, but they were good kids. They listened to me most of the time. They got to give an account for them, just like I got to give an account for me. I can't point to my dad and say, well, give me a pass because he was a good guy. It's not going to happen. You got to humble yourself, and you're going to give an answer for yourself. Don't let it be written about you, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. We looked at each one of these kings, and within the first verse or two verse, it talked about they did evil in the sight, or they did right, which did what was right in the sight of the Lord. again, we're going to give that account, and I don't really want it written about me for generations to come that I did evil in the sight of the Lord, even though there was evil in my life. I would like to forget all that part, but if somebody's writing a book, there's going to be a lot of chapters in there about that.
Amen.
It wasn't, excuse me, it wasn't until I humbled myself before Almighty God, excuse me, that I could change my life. I stopped my cursing. I started going to church. I started putting on that exterior because I knew, coming from a religious background, what it took and what people wanted to see and all the stuff. That wasn't enough. That's not going to get me anywhere except for back in the family Christmas picture. I had to humble myself before Christ before anything was going to happen. King's family, some of the trees are not so hot. Ours might not be so hot either. But you have to humble yourself.
Amen.
Change it.
Good.
God will bless it. Verse 12, again, but if we humble ourselves in turn, nothing else is going to happen. Jesus can say for us, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That would be the ultimate thing. When we stand before Christ, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Or he's going to say, welcome to heaven, you're paid for. I don't want to be standing there and have him say the evil one. I want to hear he did right in the sight of the Lord. One thing that changed things in 2 Chronicles 34:14, and again, if Manasseh wouldn't have humbled himself, these things probably might not have come to fact, but 2 Chronicles 34:14, and we're under now Josiah's rule, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law, of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and that name, and son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. If it wasn't for Josiah finding this, it could have been lost for even longer amount of time. Even generation after generation would have never even heard it. But because in verse 19, he rent his clothes. Okay, Josiah could have went along and just said, well, that's interesting, that's a book. But as soon as he heard about it, he knew what the book was. He knew it was the book of the law. So he rent his clothes, and that's a sign of he humbled himself. He humbled himself before God, said, hey, we have messed up royally. We got to get this straightened out. We got to get this figured out. Down in 30 and 31, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, he read in their ears all the words of the book of covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place, and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all his heart, and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Where is your book of the law during the week? Question I want to ask. Is it you don't know? Is it you got to go blow the dust off it? We need to humble ourselves and get into this word if we're going to know. Like Josiah didn't know all the laws until it was found and it was read to him. How are we going to know all the laws that God has for us, or how to become a better Christian if we don't know where our Bible is, if we have no care where our Bible is? It's very important that we know where it is, that it's a very prominent thing in our lives, in our families, that we can always turn back to it, and it's not a search party for when we need a Bible. Okay? Oh, we're going to church today. Go find it, kids. We need to be, it needs to be a focal point in your houses, in your lives. So there's no losing it from generation to generation. If we were all knew the book of the law, if we all knew where our Bibles were, and we would hand that down from generation to generation, that law is not going to get lost. We're not going to lose that book. We need to humble ourselves and get into God's Word. In closing, it doesn't matter what your past is, as long as this generation follows the Lord. Only you can answer for you before Christ. You will humble yourself one day before Christ. Straight, simple. I can't say it any other way. You will humble yourself some point in time before you meet Christ. Excuse me. Question is, will you say you've done evil or you've done good? You've done that which was right. Is he going to say depart from me, or is he going to say well done? One last passage, we're going to go to Ezra. Ezra 9. And if you're lost today, there's obviously humbling yourself. I would say the repentance and asking Christ to save you. If you are a saved person, this is just a reminder. I would say a reminder to remember who you serve and who you need to humble to. Ezra 9, 3 through 6. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment. And obviously this is a different, not going with what happened in 2 Chronicles, but this is just maybe what we need to think of. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment, my mantle, and I plucked off the hair off my head and my beard and sat down astonished. Now, plucking the hair from my head is not going to be too bad right now, but plucking off my face might. Verse 4, then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the Lord. Is there a lot of people that tremble anymore? The words of God, of Israel, because of the transgressions of those that have been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the end of the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, having rent my garments and my mantle, I fell upon my knees, and I spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. How many times do we, and I'm not saying you look like Superman, but how many times do we get down on our knees in embarrassment, in shame, knowing we're not living for the Lord, and humble ourselves like that right there? How many times do we show God that we're truly sorry? Or is it the 1 John 1:9, get me out of trouble prayer? How many times do we take our walk with God serious enough to get down on our face and ask for forgiveness? Well, Pastor Ian?
Good. Thank you, Neil. That was very good.
We're going to sing page 349.